Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Think MTV or Vivo to an interactive power. In few words, that's Roxy coming to a smart TV set, device, multi-channel bundle, or multicast channel near you soon. Chief Executive Rob Lewis joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from London. Also in queue, Amazon breaks into the regional sports field, CBS's sports Super Bowl pre-show plans, our classic trivia answer, really, and you are looking live, a Super Bowl Sunday special show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and tune-in radio, and presented on more than 45 great podcast destinations, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our first half hour is brought to you today by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. Believe it or not, it is 25 degrees at the top of this hour here in the Big Apple. Wherever you are, we hope you're hanging in with the weather, and we welcome you to the Pro Bowl TV's current and future special midweek edition. Great to have you aboard. Wonderful guests with InterRay exclusive coming your way, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in. How do you do that? You use this number. It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are, catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, it is no problem with us. Just go ahead and use our chat room. It's SimonApple04, SimonApple, number 0, number 4, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, you will interact with us. And our guest, live from London, Rob Lewis from the wonderful new interactive music service Roxy, and it'll come your way after these news notes. Amazon is getting a leg into regional sports network operations by taking a minority investment in Diamond Sports Group. The Sinclair-owned venture oversees 19 networks under the Bally Sports brand and is attempting to reorganize after declaring bankruptcy last year. The deal, set up this morning, gives Amazon the green light to make all 19 networks available to Prime Video consumers, while cable and satellite operators would, for now, continue to run the networks on their systems and reach their subscribers. Separately, Sinclair will pay Diamond $495 million to settle a lawsuit between both ventures. Amazon did not disclose the value of its Diamond investment, although there is at least one report suggesting they paid over $115 million for it. Prime Video pricing of the RSN to its audience will be announced at a later date. Areas where Diamond's channels play include Detroit, Kansas City, New Orleans, and San Diego. In unrelated development, Tastemade has launched a multi-year push to create and land 15 new lifestyle series on Prime Video and Amazon Freevee. First out of the frying pan into production will be Dish It Out, featuring Matilda Ramsey, Gordon Ramsay's daughter, making recipes come to life out of ingredients boxed up and delivered by top chefs and home cookers. Tastemade will dish up 32 episodes from its London studios. And look for CBS Sports to serve up 7 hours, that's right, 7 hours of Super Bowl Sunday pregame programming on February 11th. The special half hour of Nickelodeon's weekly NFL Slime Time series will open the lineup at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, with a four-hour expanded run of the NFL Today beginning 2.5 hours later. We will preview another element of this Sunday schedule. That's our show to know next half hour. And we'll get to News Note Quickies after the bottom of this hour. Now joining us live from London in Air Radio Exclusive, the chief executive of the new interactive music video service, Roxy, Rob Lewis. Rob, good Wednesday evening to you. It's prime time, your time, and thanks for being with us.
It's a great pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Rob, what is Roxy all about, and how is it different from what MTV used to do back in the 80s and 90s, and what Vivo is doing now?
Yeah, sure. So, look, we live in a world where more and more consumers are demanding their music's done in a video format rather than an audio format. And actually, by the end of next year, the growth is such that video streams should actually outpace audio streams overall worldwide. On the TV, we haven't really had a great experience, actually. Most music services, you know, the big audio services, are audio only. On a TV, you know, frankly, audio only is really quite pathetic. A bit 1980s, in fact. There are some services out there that do music video, but Vivo, you know, ultimately they've got 200,000-ish of the latest music videos. They don't have a full catalog. And what consumers have been screaming out for, we believe, is having access to all the music in the world that they love, absolutely, you know, all those 100 million tracks, but with an audio-visual experience for all the music. And the way we do that is that we offer not just all the music videos in the world, but for every single piece of music that's ever been recorded that doesn't have a music video, which it turns out is actually about 100 million tracks, we generate a virtual music video using photography of the artist from Getty Images combined with the original audio track. So for the first time, you've got all the music in the world on your TV to sit back and enjoy with friends and family, where everything is audiovisual. You haven't got any kind of audio only with a little bit of Alva artwork in the middle of the screen. So it's very different from anything on the market.
Now, your venture, which is backed by people like Simon Cowell from American Idol, America's Got Talent, Sheryl Crow, the music superstar, Kyle Minogue, the Australian and also global superstar, and I believe some other top-flight music performers are also investing in this. You had a big deal at CES 2024 in Las Vegas last week, and you announced that you are going to be launching the U.S. through smart TV sets, through smart TV device, you pretty much have all the key ones, LG, Samsung, Sony, Vizio, et cetera. And you're also going to be doing multicast channels that will be on the Sinclair broadcast stations. How soon will all of this happen? How soon will viewers be able to take your service?
So this is all going to be by the end of Q1. So certainly within the next 90 days, everyone will be able to enjoy this. On the smart TV app, essentially it's a free smart TV app. It either will be pre-installed on those devices or downloadable. You sign in, 5 seconds later, you're enjoying all the music in the world. And it has a rail-based UI, very similar to Netflix, but with access to all the music in the world. One of the key features is a lot of those TV vendors who want to improve the music experience on their devices and really turn their TVs into an alternative to a smart speaker in the home, are integrating it into their search, integrating it into their voice commands. So it won't be long before you can walk into a room and say, hey, Samsung, play me some ABBA. And the TV actually turns on and starts playing music videos from ABBA. So you create an audio-visual experience, much like you might have in a bar, but voice-controlled, and something we believe is just so much better than a smart speaker experience, where whenever you want to change the music, you've got to interrupt the music, interrupt the magic. I should tell you about the broadcast channels, though, with Sinclair, who are a key partner of ours, because they're actually really very different from anything that's been available to date. They're not multicast per se. They're actually genuinely interactive TV channels that are available on broadcast TV. That might sound like an oxymoron. The great thing about broadcast TV is instantly accessible on the EPG. Turn on the TV, and there you go. It's there. The bad thing about broadcast TV is the program's already started. You can't skip if you don't like something. It's not personalized, and you can't search. What we're delivering with Sinclair through some revolutionary technology we've developed called FastStream is the ability on normal broadcast TV to have an interactive experience where you have music channels you can actually skip, you can actually change, you can favorite, you can move from track to track. So for the first time, you've effectively got MTV with the interactive capabilities of a normal music service, but instantly accessible on any TV that has ATSC 3.0, which is basically modern TV.
Right, next-gen television, which I believe 10 million people have in different set makers.
Correct. Yeah, so if you buy most modern TVs in the U.S., then it will have next-gen TV on board. And the great thing about next-gen TV is that it has the ability to leverage the interconnectivity within the broadcast capability. So essentially, you can just be moving from one normal linear TV to another and then move to the Roxy TV channel. And the music video starts playing just as you'd expect with a normal old-style music channel, except a few seconds later, play controls appear from the bottom of the screen, and yes, you've got the ability to skip. You've got the ability to change channel. You'll actually even have the ability to sing karaoke or play music games, all on a normal broadcast channel and without the requirement to download an app to your set.
The music game situation sounds very interesting, and in a way it's groundbreaking for television. I want to get to that in a little bit. But first, how much does artificial intelligence play a role here? Because we know now that there are more and more smart TV sets and smart devices where because of artificial intelligence software in the device, you can use Google Assistant, you can use Siri, you can Alexa to control the set with your voice. Or a voice remote.
Yeah.
Is that going to play a role with Roxy?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So more and more TVs and set-top boxes are having what's called a near-field mic plugged in, so you can talk to it from afar. Ultimately, the TV vendors all believe they can deliver a better experience for being at the center of the connected home, smart speaker, and I think they're right. There's lots of reasons why. The first is that you can actually display search results on a screen. If you want to ask Alexa, because you can't remember the name of a track that Taylor Swift sang, all the names of a track, it's going to take you a very long time to see those tracks. If you do it on screen, you can do it instantaneously. There are so much things that are better. Particularly browsing and searching is so much better. In addition, you know, in a music context, controlling a playlist when you've got a TV on the screen is not just better because you've got music videos playing in the living room whilst you're chatting with friends, but also because just simply by picking up your phone and using your QR code functionality, anyone in the room, and it could be a home or a living room, or it could even be a bar or a restaurant, could pick up their phone to add playlists or tracks or albums to the video play queue. On a smart speaker, clearly, the moment you want to change the music, you've got to stop the music. And that just breaks the magic of music. The music should never stop.
Roxy, which is out to become a worldwide global music video, music programming powerhouse, will be starting here in the United States within the next 90 days by the end of March. And you can get it through smart TV sets, smart devices, multi-channel bundles, or if you have next-gen television with the ATSC 3.0 format, you'll be able to get it through three different services provided with the cooperation of Sinclair, one of the largest TV station groups in the country. We've got Rob Lewis, the chief executive of Roxy, joining us live from London, and where it's prime time their time. It's mid-afternoon our time. Simon Abbott with you live this half hour with Rob on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us on this midweek, 25 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Second of three episodes we are doing this week. We have one more coming your way on Friday. Same time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. We don't have the guests yet, but we are working on some possibilities. And we'll keep you posted through our Facebook feed, Simon Applebaum, and our extra Twitter feed at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, extra Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Now, Rob, talk about the karaoke side of things. Is this something that you'll be able to do with your voice-to-voice remote through the smart speaker device, or do you have to get a separate karaoke mic and do it that way?
Yeah, so one of the things that most people don't realize is that Bluetooth, which is the technology in a lot of these remotes, has actually quite a lot of latency. So that just basically means that you can't use a normal TV remote for karaoke, or you'll find that you're not singing in time with what you're hoping to sing. The performance is going to be quite poor. We actually have a very different approach, which is we have a free service, completely free to the consumer, access to all 100 million music videos, karaoke and games. But we also have a premium service, which will be $8.99 in the U.S. a month. And basically, if you take the premium service, we send you a free karaoke mic straight to your door for free. And it works straight out of the box. You pick it up, turn it on, and off you go. You've got a karaoke experience in the living room that will keep your friends and family very happy on a Friday or Saturday night. We also believe in what we call music video karaoke. A music video karaoke is a form of karaoke which no one else offers today. You're singing with your favorite artists. You're actually singing with a duet with them. You're seeing their music video on the screen. And actually, you're seeing the time lyrics superimposed on top of that music video. And in all of the tests that we've done, all of the user groups we've done, it's the type of karaoke that consumers most enjoy, and the mass market enjoys. It makes karaoke easy and fun, even if you can't quite remember how those lyrics go.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to the music games, which may be the most unique element of your service, Rob, when you are going to be calling up these music videos, you can either do it, I guess, by individual video, but in terms of, let's say, if you want to play a group of songs, would it be by genre? Would it be by individual artists? How do you arrange things?
So all of those. So whether you want the latest, you know, what's currently hot, or you want some 70s jazz, or you want some relaxing meditation music, or you want a particular genre within classical, we have channels for absolutely every combination of mood, genre, and era. I mean, you can even go back to your birthday and find out what were the top 50 hits in the year that you were born. We do that for every single year, all the way down to about 1930, for those who are the older generation. There is literally channels for everything. And the great thing, obviously, about the channels on the TV is that it allows you to put the remote down. In a living room, we're often sitting down, putting the TV on, putting the music on. We're not actually necessarily looking directly at the screen all the time. We're chatting with our friends. We're eating. We're relaxing. We're cooking. But channels are key because you only really want to pick up the remote when you want to change the mood or skip a track that you don't particularly like. So, yeah, channels are absolutely key for us. And those channels are both personalized and generated by AI, but also hand-curated by a fantastic group of curators, which includes even people like Simon Cowell, who, as you mentioned earlier, is actually one of our shareholders and backers. So he personally crafts channels that are Simon Cowell branded. So Simon Cowell Best of the 80s, Simon Cowell Best Boy Bands, Simon Cowell Best of the 70s. So you can actually listen to what Simon is doing in his own living room.
What about culture-oriented genres, let's say like Latin music or Bollywood or K-pop? Do they have a role with your service?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I would challenge you when you find the service live on your own TV, I challenge you to find a genre, a decade, or a mood that we don't cover. We're actually normally covering them in subdivisions as well. So we won't just have K-pop. We'll have a whole bunch of K-pop channels. We ultimately believe, you know, the key is we all have slightly different music tastes. We need to ensure that every consumer, wherever they are, whatever their music taste, they can turn on the TV and they can enjoy the music they love. And clearly the great thing about the integration with the smart TV vendors is they can actually demand that content with their voice. So the ability to turn up into your living room and rather than speak to Alexa and ask her to put on some K-pop, you can ask your TV to put on some K-pop and you've actually got those music videos playing in the living room, not just an audio-only experience. And that really is, we believe, if you go to a bar in America, or in fact in Europe, you'll often see the music videos playing. And there's a reason for that, which is it's a great background experience for consumers when they're enjoying or having time or enjoying their time with their friends and family. It's just better than an audio-only experience, as well as, frankly, being the content type that the younger generation just expects. Audio-only for a younger YouTube generation seems, in some degrees, unless you're on the move, slightly perverse.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk about music games. What kind of games will people play when they're able to access these features on your service?
We obviously have the biggest catalog of music and music videos you can imagine. So not only all the original music videos, but virtual music videos with photography of that artist, genre, and decade on the screen for all of the music that doesn't have an original music video. So it's a fantastically huge catalog. You know, you will find, however niche and whatever the genre, you will find the music you love. And we use that vast catalog to create fun, interactive music games for the family to enjoy. The top game I described, which is what we call Name the Artist, effectively you choose your genre, whatever that is, your favorite genre or your decade. And then the music game has a To Be a Millionaire style user interface on the screen, where there are four options, and those four options are four different artists. And then a music video starts playing, but only a relatively small segment of that music video, and you've got a very short time period to actually guess which is the artist who's in that music video. As you go through each round, it gets quicker and quicker, and there's a leaderboard. In the future, you'll be able to compete with different households at the same time. And you know, we know from all of the user groups that we've done, there are certain times of the week when people come together, when families come together, and so many families want to get their kids off their mobile phone playing games on their own. And music is a great leveler. It's a great way of bringing people together to have shared experiences. That's the great thing about a TV. It is a shared experience. It's a big screen experience. It can bring people together. That's what music should be about. And that's why those games are so great, is it actually gets families and friends to actually have fun around the core joyous experience of music together in their living room.
So there could be an opportunity for multiplayer games along the lines of a Name That Artist, as you mentioned, or Name That Tune, Name That Video, Name the Location. If you want to deep down,
absolutely.
Trivia,
you can do that too. Yeah, no, absolutely. All of that. The fundamental basis of the music service is delivering an alternative to an Amazon Echo or other smart speaker for music and delivering a music video experience on the biggest screen in our home, often the TV is connected to the best speakers in the home, in many homes, and delivering a music video experience which delivers you all the access to the mail and music and the channels. But the games and the karaoke are what I think sets us apart on a Friday night or Saturday night when a family or friends come together. Because music can be a great way of delivering a background experience that makes us all happier when we're together, whatever we might be doing. But the ultimate for any service provider such as us is actually to get family and friends actually interacting with each other around music. And that's why the karaoke and the games are so fantastic. I think that's when they create the ultimate joy in the living room.
Rob Lewis is the chief executive of Roxy, the new interactive music services coming to you through smart TVs, devices, multi-channel bundles, also through Sinclair as next-generation TV channels, and that's coming within the next 90 days or so. He joins us live from London this half hour on Smart Retail. In a moment, I'm going to ask him about what might be the ultimate music video possibility for his service. And what he thinks about it. That's coming up shortly. And if you have a question or comment on Mini Mix with Rob, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our second half hour, we've got News Note Quickies. We will finally have the answer that we're supposed to give you on Monday to our classic trivia question, our first one of the year. And we'll also have some perspective on the Emmy Awards that took place on Monday night. I was in the virtual press room, caught it, and I'll give you some perspective on that. And also our show to know. A very interesting aspect of CBS Sports Super Bowl coverage coming up next month on Super Bowl Sunday. That's all straight ahead. Rob, what was the feedback you got at CES from your service?
Well, actually fantastic. I think the new interactive music channels that we're delivering through next-gen TV with Sinclair got particular attention. The Washington Post actually called it one of the top three announcements at CES, which for a relatively small, nimble company backed by sort of music celebrities was quite something we weren't expecting. And actually the interesting thing with the technology we built to deliver that is that on the back of it, we have a whole bunch of major media organizations who approached us about the idea of creating interactive TV channels on broadcast TV. So that's been extremely exciting. But the other thing which I think has been really exciting is we have a whole bunch of major smart TV vendors that we're already partnering with very, very closely. But since the CES announcement, I think there's been a reawakening through some of the others that really quite how important music can be. For a major smart TV vendor or pay TV vendor, ultimately there's only a certain number of hours and minutes every week where you can expect a consumer to be watching TV. Because we do actually have to go to work, take the kids to school, cook and eat. Whereas the great thing about music is it can be a background activity where consumers have music video on in the background whilst they're chatting, whilst they're talking to their friends, whilst they're eating or even cooking or doing chores. And so as a result of CES, we've had a lot of inbound from some of the other vendors who we previously had deals with but had not necessarily had comprehensive deals with, who are now also looking to join some of our lead parties like Sky, Samsung, and LG to put Roxy's content fully into the search capability of their TVs when they're sold. It's been a fantastic CES. It's always a crazy event, as I'm sure if you've been. But it's when the community comes together and when the technology industry comes together, and it does tend to set the agenda for the year.
Mm-hmm. Is the United States the first country to see Roxy? If not, where is it playing now, and what feedback have you learned from customers in those countries that you're going to take into the U.S. version?
Yeah, so we've been live in the United Kingdom for just over a year, and that's been fantastic. We've had very, very strong growth, and what we've seen, probably the most important learning, is that when we work very closely with a smart TV vendor and integrate our experience into theirs, then the smart TV vendor sees huge amounts of additional engagement and usage of their TV. We see a huge amount of additional users signing up, you know, be it for the free service or the paid service. And that's why when we moved into the US, we've been so focused on making sure we're partnering with the major global smart TV brands, essentially kind of becoming their default music service. within search and also within voice commands, as well as preloaded on their devices. The UK has been very successful, but, you know, the US is the world's biggest music market, the world's biggest connected TV market, and it's the world's biggest connected TV ad market. So we're very excited to be bringing it to the US with Samsung, LG, Comcast, Roku, Vizio, I mean, with all the major smart TV vendors, because ultimately we think the consumers deserve a better music experience on their TV. Shouldn't be audio only, should be full catalog music video, and it should be accessible with their voice.
Mm-hmm. Rob, a couple of months ago, Amazon Fire TV launched a set of applications using generative AI, which in one application allows Amazon Fire TV customers to curate their own art galleries, taking art from various sources, various libraries, museums, et cetera, and putting it on the television set, and the ability to create their own video art and put it on the television set. I understand there's another smart TV set maker that's also introduced similar features at CES last week. Could the possibility of people creating their own music videos be a possibility for Roxy?
Yeah, so look, we're very pro-consumers creating their own content. There are obviously a whole series of licensing implications in the music industry. The music industry is extremely fragmented in terms of the rights, and we want to make sure that every writer, every songwriter, every artist is paid adequately and properly for their work. You have to be a little bit cautious as to functionality that uses the original music audio. Because essentially, you probably don't want to know too much about this, but essentially there is a special right called a sync right, which actually the songwriter has a right over, or a veto right over, whenever you take a music track and combine it with a video track. That's essentially why if you want to do a TV ad in the US, including a major music track, it's probably going to cost you $5 million. And we are very, very cautious to make sure that everything that we do is legitimate, it's licensed, and that the songwriters and artists and other creatives are ultimately getting paid and respected in terms of everything that we do. We are definitely of the view that consumers should be able to do a lot, but we always need to make sure that it's actually legitimate.
Mm-hmm. CES was your really coming out in public here in the United States. Are there any plans to do other events? Let's say do an event here in New York for local press, for the advertising community, to see what your service is all about, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Silicon, et cetera, et cetera. What are any plans for that? Any plans to be part of the Upfront and New Front events this spring? And also, to sort of sign off on this, how do you stand in terms of getting ad support?
Sorry, in terms of getting ad support?
But I understand that
I didn't quite
you can
well.
Get Roxy free with limited ads.
Yeah.
Let's say limited ads per hour.
Yeah, no, that's right. So there's an ad-funded service which uses programmatic connected TV advertising from a whole series of sources. And then in addition to that, there's the paid service, which obviously you pay $8.99 and it's free, and there's karaoke mic that's bundled in for free. So we have arrangements, you know, obviously not disclosed yet in terms of all of the parties that we're working with on the connected TV ad front. And we've obviously got arrangements we've already got in Europe in that regard. In terms of events in New York, yes, we'll definitely be doing events post-launch. The next event that we're likely to be attending, actually, though, will be NAB in Las Vegas, where we're expecting to demonstrate the new interactive TV channels, which are something which I think the whole broadcast industry will be very excited by, because it's really, you know, after many years of broadcast TV sort of slowly sliding south in terms of viewer numbers, this is something that for the first time can really make broadcast TV as interactive as an app without the download, without the requirement to download an app. And many of the analysts we've spoken to at CES feel it can be a turning point where linear TV starts fighting back against OTT.
And again, NAB, which is the National Associate Broadcasters Annual Trade Show, that is in Vegas also. So that, I believe, is coming up in April. And you're saying you will be doing something here in New York also too, post-launch.
We'll be doing something in New York. We don't have a date TBC, but it'll be after NAB, almost certainly.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to know more about Roxy, which will be coming in the next few months too, a smart TV set, smart TV device, multi-channel bundle, and or if you have next-gen television, a channel, one of actually three music video, music games, and karaoke, and that'll be provided in part by Sinclair, one of the largest TV station groups in the country. For more details about all of that, go to www.roxy.tv. That's www.roxy.tv. And we'll keep you posted when the smart TV sets, devices, et cetera, will be launching Roxy in your area. Rob Lewis, the chief executive of the service, thank you again for joining us live from primetime where you are in London. Congratulations on the CES debut last week, and all the best. Hopefully, when you launch, it'll be sort of a great new run and a new music video alternative for people.
Thank you so much. Great to speak to you and to be on your show.
It is a pleasure, Rob, all the way. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Brilliant. Thank you. You too.
Rob Lewis, the chief executive of Roxy, joining us live from London. More of our program coming up. First, a word from BlendJet. Now, if your blender is bulky and a pain to operate, here's an idea. Give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks an easy, ongoing pleasure. You know, BlendJet is so portable to work up a smoothie, any flavor you like at the office, or your favorite protein booster at the gym, or a poolside margarita. BlendJet is quiet to operate and rechargeable on the go. So what are you waiting for? Just go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today. Remember, be sure to use the promo code TELEVISED to get 12% off your order, which, by the way, would be 12% off the current lowest price ever, and free two-day shipping. So remember, you get 12% off your order at the lowest current possible price right now, and free two-day shipping. It's all yours. Just use the promo code TELEVISED when you go to BlendJet.com so you can blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. Coming up next, classic trivia answer, news note quickies, host Emmy perspective, and our show to know, you are looking live. That's all coming your way in our second half hour, which begins after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love sports, check out the Richard Miller Report. He's got an update on what's happening in the NFL Divisional Playoffs this coming weekend and a whole lot more. The Richard Miller Report, your sports guide, tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, Best BTR always comes your way 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of today's midweek edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. And this half hour is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Simon App, I'm with you live from New York, 25 degrees, bottom of the hour. Welcome to those of you just joining us. It was a fun interview with Rob Lewis of Roxy, the interactive music video service that debuted in public here in the United States last week at CES 2024, and will be coming your way by smart TV set, device, multi-channel bundle, and by special channels available to next-gen TV users through Sinclair and other broadcast station owners. And again, hopefully in the next 60 to 90 days. And we'll keep you posted, by the way, when it will be coming to areas near you. We've got a lot more coming your way this half hour. I want to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you thought about the Emmy Awards Monday night. I got some thoughts. Let's hear yours. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call in, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up, classic trivia answer. We promised you on Monday. Couldn't get to it. We will today after we bring you some news note quickies. INSP offshoot Cowboy Way Channel will premiere Blue Ridge, the series, April 7th. Jonathan Shake will reprise his movie role, starring in the service's first original scripted series. Sling TV is launching a quartet of ad-supported channels from Navio Networks, Court Sports, Wired to Fish TV, Campus Lore Sports, and Horror Machine. MGM Plus will finally put Emperor of Ocean Park into series production before the end of this month. Graham Coleman, Forrest Whitaker, and Tiffany Mack co-star in the Chicago-originating saga due to arrive on MGM Plus this summer. Netflix will debut The Vince Staples Show February 15th. Staples executive produced the series with Blackish creator Kenya Barris. Peacock miniseries The Tattooist of Auschwitz comes on May 2nd. Harvey Keitel, Mel Levinsky, and Jonah Haven King co-star. And the new season of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the winner of two Emmy Awards this past Monday night, reaches HBO February 18th. And that is news notes for today. And now, yes, finally, time to give you the answer to our first classic trivia question of 2024. We didn't give it to you on Monday. We had so much fun with Mark Berman, performing insider editor-in-chief, with all those great Emmy predictions. By the way, he was 9 for 9. I was 7 for 9. More about that coming up shortly. So we didn't have time to get the answer in. So here it is now. The question we have been posing for the last 2-plus weeks is this. Who is the millionaire on The Millionaire. We were looking for the title character's name of that very popular 1955-1960 CBS series, which you can find episodes of on YouTube. The answer, John Beresford Tipton, the richest man in the world. You never saw his face. You did hear his voice in each episode, played by the wonderful character and voiceover actor Paul Frees. Remember him? I think he played Boris Badenov and Rocky and His Friends, a lot of other great cartoons, as well as commercials, TV shows, all, movies all over the place. He did see his face in a couple of movies, too. Wonderful actor, wonderful voiceover person, Paul Frees, playing John Beresford Tipton for 5.5 years on the very popular 1950 series, The Millionaire. And that's The Millionaire on The Millionaire. Unfortunately, nobody got the correct answer in. So that means we are still trying to find our first winner of the year and our first winner in quite some time, almost 3 months. So our 7 prizes will still be in play. We'll have a brand new classic trivia question for you on Friday's episode. So tune in Friday, brand new question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win lots of prizes, including the AMC Network's provided Uber card, the free Redbox movie night from Crackle Connect, the 2024 American Express pocket calendar, the Lifetime Women in Rock and Chicago's Greatest Hits CD, and 2 wonderful books, Running the Show, Keep You on the Inside by Jeff Melvoin, and from David Craig, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After Helped End the Cold War. So tune in on Friday. Brand new question coming your way. When you hear the question, you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Remember, we only take email answers. If you're a previous winner or a guest of this program, you are not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of Friday, we will post the question, if need be, throughout the weekend at Simon Apple on Facebook and X or Twitter through Simon, at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. So let's see if we get a winner on Friday, our first one of 2024. It's all up to you and you and you and especially you out there. So get in and win starting Friday, and all the very best. Coming up next, some post thoughts about the Emmy Awards, how they were and why they ended up the way they did with its lowest viewership ever. But first, and also our show to know, but first, a word from Liquid IV. Have you heard? There's a new wellness routine that's easy to take and keeps you in hydrated shape all over the place. It's Liquid IV, the great-tasting drink mix in sick form that when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get five essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and vitamin C, and 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drink. 12 flavors to drink, all delicious and refreshing. Things like flavors like Concord Grape, Passion Fruit, Watermelon, and there's also now a line of sugar-free flavors like Green Grape and Peach. Liquid IV is gluten, dairy, and soy-free. So what you got to do to get in on the action, go to liquidiv.com to order. And when you do, you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. But 20% off anything you order when you shop for better hydration today. Just use that promo code TELEVISE, TLEVISED, at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydration. And now, a special comment. As you know, Monday night was the Emmy Awards presented live from Hollywood on Fox. And if you were listening to our show Monday, Mark Berman, the Programming Insider's wonderful editor-in-chief and yours truly, were making predictions on 9 of the categories. He was all 9 for 9. Yours truly was 7 for 9. I missed out on lead actress in a comedy. I picked Jenna Ortega for Wednesday. Keita Brunson won, was terrific, by the way, got the honor from Carol Burnett, and I saw her in the press room afterward, and she was just so super excited, very great, graceful, really also thanked her other nominees in the category, Christina Applegate from Dead to Me, Rachel Brosnahan from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Natasha Lyonne from Poker Face, and Jen Ortega from Netflix's Wednesday. And the other one I missed was Bob Odenkirk. I called him for Better Call Saul. I thought that the Emmy judges would give him it after 5 years of not to be sort of the, you know, finish of a great, great run in that series. And unfortunately, he didn't. It was went to Kirsten Culkin from Successor, who a lot of people thought was going to win it. So that's how I got my 7 of 9, which is still a pretty good track record. Anyway, as it turned out, the Emmy Awards delivered what Maury McIntyre, the president and chief executive of the TV Academy, that's the folks that run the Emmys, had told us on Friday in that internet radio exclusive interview, which really was a big coup for us, what they were going to do. We are not going to screw the audience up. We are going to respect the audience. We're not going to give them all sorts of inside baseball jokes that fly over their heads or celebrities acting stupid or political posturing. We are going to engage, entertain them, and have them celebrate television, 75 years of it, along with us. And by and large, they succeeded brilliantly. The wonderful reunions like Ally McBeal were terrific. Moments like Carol Burnett giving the Best Comedy Actress Award to Keita Brunson, just marvelous. Christina Applegate, generally moved by the standing ovation she got, having her deal with multiple sclerosis. You saw she was absolutely moved. It was really great. Anthony Anderson, tremendous job as a host. Loved how he got into the tuxedo at the beginning, played the piano, didn't waste time, just got right into it. Loved the repartee with his mother. And in fact, he had a pad the last 15, 20 minutes because they actually could have ended the show earlier. When was the last time you heard that about an Oscar or Emmy show? That they could have ended the show earlier than when you're supposed to at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific time. So kudos to the Emmy Award people for doing their thing and making the show as marvelous as it could be. This is what the Oscars should be all about. This is what the Grammys should be all about. Shows that respect the audience, that are aimed less at the people in the theater and more at the people at home who pay the bills for TV shows to get made and TV shows to reach them. So great kudos to Fox. Great kudos to the TV Academy and Jesse Collins Entertainment for making the show a really fun, engaging wave. In fact, for the first time ever that I know of, Rotten Tomatoes gave the Emmy Awards like a 90-plus critic score. It was 93 at last time I saw it. I haven't gotten the viewer score yet. I'm sure it is as high or even higher. Now, in terms of the winners, yes, it was a runaway for Succession and drama, Beef in miniseries, and The Bear in comedy. And something happened this week that will never happen again, probably, which is this. All three of these shows, Succession, The Bear, Beef, for the first time and maybe the only time ever, won the top program award, the top program category, not just with the Emmys, with the Golden Globes, the Sunday before it last, and the Critics' Choice Award the day before, the night before, the same week and a day. Think about that. Three different ceremonies, three shows, all winning the top respective category of their genre, comedy, drama, miniseries, within that week and a day span. I believe that is the first time that has ever happened, and it will probably be the last, because obviously the Emmys were on Monday night because they could not go on when they were supposed to last fall because of the writers and the actors strikes. So what you saw this week, Monday night, was very, very special. And when you look at them individually, they are three wonderful stories. Succession, classy, wonderful, media-focused, great cast, ensemble, terrific writing by Jesse Armstrong and crew. And HBO's certainly most unique critical triumph in a long while. The Bear, the little show that could, a show that when it was first proposed probably didn't know if it was ever going to make it on the air, and they did thanks to the brilliance of FX and its head, John Landgraf, who is still, to me, the best prime executive in television. His track record, amazing. And what The Bear has done in its two seasons has been remarkable. Like Atlanta, it is a show where it can be a comedy one night, a dramedy another night, a full-fledged drama another night. And FX has become a big expert in that kind of show. And The Bear does that brilliantly with a marvelous ensemble cast. And finally, Beef. A show that tackles a tough subject, road rage, for Netflix, and also becomes a stepping stone for a lot of great Asian-American talent in front of behind the camera. And I do hope it goes to a second season. And I really hope Netflix, maybe by the end of the week, they can make it that happen, that second season happen, and maybe more. It's a great idea. And there certainly are a lot of topics, both within the Asian-American community and for all of us, that this series could handle and handle beautifully. So I'm pulling for a second season and more of Beef on Netflix. So there you have it, three great stories, and they deserve to win the big categories. What can I say? They deserved it. Yes, I wish Bob Odenkirk could have won. Better Call Saul going zero for 50-something nominations over the course of its run. That's ridiculous. And I wish that Odenkirk and Rhea Seehorn, who really should be a Best Actress nominee, should have been in there. I also wish Reservation Dogs could have been nominated in the comedy category for its final season, which it deserved. And yes, Ryan O'Neal should have been in that In Memoriam. I'll say it again. The Turner Classic Movies, people, hire them. From TCM Remembers, you will have no problem, none, with these In Memoriam segments. So, Oscar people, hire the TCM people. You won't go wrong. And nobody will ever say again, oh, you lost somebody or you missed somebody special. That should have been in there, slam dunk, like Ryan O'Neal, who should have been in there. And by the way, was in the TCM Remembers this past year. Well, with all that wonderful stuff happening, the awards, the show itself, how it's put together, nevertheless, the Emmy Awards ended up having the lowest viewership in its history, 4.3 million viewers. Why? And by the way, that was 25% plus below 2022, the last Emmy Awards, which was 5.8. Why? Well, first of all, it was up against a huge wildcard weekend game, which it otherwise would not have been, and was also up against the end of a game that was postponed from the day before because of the snowstorm in Buffalo, the Bills Steelers, which actually turned out to be a more closer game than first advertised. Also, I know a lot of people thinking, oh, put the thing on Fox, it's always declined. Fox was not the problem. The promotion on Fox was a problem. You didn't see a lot of promotion for it. That was a mistake. Fox did a great job producing the show. Fox did a great job in the backstage press room. A few quibbles I have about how the room went that I will leave for conversation between me and the Fox PR people. But don't blame Fox for putting it on. Oh, God, put on Fox. It's already going to be a downer. No, it was up against football. A football game, by the way, that on ABC and simulcast on ESPN had 29 million people watching. And, yes, there was also the Iowa caucuses, where at 8:30, because of predictions and projections that frankly should have been held until after 10 o'clock when the caucuses were over, and that's a whole other story we can get into, again, that took audience away. So there were a number of factors behind the 4.3 million people and the low viewership number. Now, the good news is that there is another Emmy Awards ceremony this year when it's supposed to happen this September for this current season. And we'll see if they can make a comeback. I think if they do what they did this time around, make the show engaging and entertaining to the viewer and keep cutting away all the fluff that doesn't hit them, that frankly turns them off, the inside baseball jokes, the stupidity by the presenters and the celebrities, the political soapboxing. You take that away, there's a good chance that the viewership will rise. Will it ever get to, you know, tens of millions? No. We're not in that era anymore. We're not in the era of, you know, you put a show on and everybody else plays dead. Nope, not in this era of plentiful television and plentiful networks. Can't happen. However, the rating and the viewership can rise. So, bravo, Emmy people. Do what you did on Monday night. Keep doing it next time around in September. And who knows? We'll have more great things to say about you. And I'd love to hear what you thought about the Emmy Awards. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. We do have some time still to get your phone calls in. You can also use the chat room, simonapple04, my name. Love to hear what you thought if you saw the Emmys and your view on what happened. And now, before we go, it's time for our regular feature, A Show to Know, where we highlight a program that we think is worth your while. And you might not know about it because it might not be marketed, promoted, publicized, or falls off the radar screen of TV folks and critics. Well, our Show to Know is actually a program that was just announced this morning as part of CBS Sports Super Bowl pregame coverage on that Sunday. And it's absolutely perfect. It's called You Are Looking Live. Believe it or not, 50 years ago this fall, CBS did a groundbreaking thing, doing a mostly live, mostly up-to-date football pregame half hour. Initially, it was called the NFL on CBS, hosted by Jack Whitaker and Lee Leonard from what they called CBS Sports Control at the CBS Broadcast Center here in New York City. And then 1 year later, the format was changed to the NFL Today with co-hosts Brent Musburger, Herb Cross, Phyllis George, and later Jimmy the Greek Snyder, Will McDonald, Jane Kennedy, and others. The NFL Today changed forever the way you do a pregame show before a big event like the regular season of the National Football League. And it did more, by the way, than just give you a look at the stadium activity before the games. It also gave you live perspective interviews with players. It gave you special feet films and later videotape features. It had tips about how to watch the games. And then it also had an NFL Today halftime and an NFL Today postgame report. It was the wraparound package that really set in motion wraparound programming in a major way for the National Football League and later for other sports, as they would be done on CBS, ABC, NBC, and later ESPN and other sports networks. You Are Looking Live, which is co-produced by CBS Sports and NFL Films, will be the story of how the NFL Today came to be. And as CBS is saying, the show that changed sports television forever. The show includes interviews with Brent Musburger and Jane Kennedy, who are, by the way, the only two living people from the early era of that series. And it is put together by Pete Radovich as a coordinating producer. The directors are Eric Powers and Chip Swain. We are going to, by the way, try to have them on a future episode of this program. And tonight, members of the current group of the NFL Today, including Boomer Esiason, Bill Cowher, and Nate Burleson, will join the outgoing president of CBS Sports, Sean McManus, and Tracy Wolfson, the sideline reporter with Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the main NFL regular season games and on the Super Bowl game coming up in February, February 11th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. They will be at a special event at the Paley Center for Media in Midtown Manhattan. I'll be going over there right after finishing this show. And I hope that they will bring up the You Are Looking Live special. If you want to know more about You Are Looking Live, which, by the way, will premiere Sunday, February 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, as part of the 7-hour CBS Sports pregame package, go to cbs.com or cbssports.com. That's cbs.com or cbssports.com. You Are Looking Live, our show to know today, Sunday, February 11th, part of CBS Sports Super Bowl pregame coverage that day, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. It kicks off with a special NFL Slime Time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, which is 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. And by the way, I would suggest, too, that you catch CBS Sunday Morning and Face the Nation, because probably they will have Super Bowl segments as well during their programs. CBS Sunday Morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time on Pacific on most CBS stations, and Face the Nation, many stations on at 10:30 a.m. Eastern and in some cases Pacific time, too. So, and if you have an idea for a show to know, we want to hear you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So remember, when you email me, put down the name of the show, the network it's on, why we should highlight it. And again, if we use the suggestion on the air, you, yes, you, get the credit. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Sooner you do, sooner we consider your suggestion for a future show to know segment. And that's the way that goes. Because we had so much fun and we were running out of time on Monday's show with Mark Bremen from the Plumbing Insider, there are two situations that we obituaries, if you will, that happened over the weekend that we didn't get to, so I want to get to them now before we leave you today. One is the Pulitzer Prize-winning TV critic of the Washington Post for so many decades, Tom Shales. Tom Shales, was to television what Siskel and Ebert were to film criticism. He was a brilliant writer. He was a brilliant reviewer. No genre of television was beneath him. He interviewed it all. He also wrote various books on the subject, and he was willing to do his thing to any genre of television you wanted. He inspired many a person to get into the business of covering television for a living, yours truly included. He died out of complications from the coronavirus pandemic, at the age of 79 and some other issues regarding respiratory situations. Tom Schultz was 79, and he leaves behind lots of devoted readers over the decades who really enjoyed his work. And the other person that passed away was the last living member of the original cast of what I consider to be the greatest situation comedy ever made, The Honeymooners, Joyce Randolph, who played Trixie, the wife of Ed Norton, played, of course, by Art Carney. Yes, Trixie was sort of the person in the cast that had the least to do. She did it well, though, and she became really a cult figure in the years after The Honeymooners left the air. She was beloved in Brooklyn and New York City. She'd go to special Honeymooners events, and the audiences loved her. Well, she passed away at the age of 99 over the weekend. She almost made it to 100. And like I said, Joyce Randolph was a very beloved figure as the last living member of the cast of that show. Yes, I Love Lucy's up there. Yes, All in the Family's up there. To me, The Honeymooners is heads above because of the great writing, because of Jackie Gleason's immortal Ralph Cramden, the super cast of Audrey Meadows, Art Carney, and Joyce Randolph, and those classic 39 episodes. You look at them now, you still laugh your head off. The writing, absolutely brilliant, and one of the few situation comedies that had some very poignant endings that you didn't expect. They threw some good curveballs, and they were all honest. One of the best, and really, really great. Again, thank you to Rob Lewis from Roxy for joining us today live from London. Thank all of you for tuning in. We will be back Friday with another edition of our program. We'll keep you posted as to who our guests will be, on Facebook and on X or Twitter. And we want to remind you that we'd like to hear from you. Oh, by the way, if you came in late on this program, want to catch an episode you missed, go to the homepage anytime you like, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. You can always leave a comment, and if we use your comment on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. Again, we love hearing from you. You make the show work. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or X. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with me, I do it back to you within 24 hours because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Andy Toe is BeatStars General Manager, Dave Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website certified by OnPodium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web corner at tomorrowbetelevised.com. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. And by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in a very cold New York. Thank you very much for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your midweek and week. Please stay warm as you can. We are going to get better, I promise you. And we will be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're up to between now and then, make it safe and make it great for you and others you love. And definitely stay well and warm. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.